Hello, everyone. All right. Today, we are going to be talking at Stopping at Enough. We are kicking off an entire month-long Wednesday Q&A series, all dedicated to Stopping at Enough, which I just have to let me show y'all my leftover breakfast that's just sitting here taunting me. So I had 5 minutes between my last call and y'all I actually had 15 minutes, but 12 of it was air fryer time. I was cooking my breakfast. And here I am. I'm like, oh, I had to stop it enough. And I'm just going to tell you, like, my brain was like, I wonder if I could just be 2 minutes late so I can finish. And oh my gosh, I had all the thoughts. Then I was like, no, you're fixing to teach a class on stopping at enough. You have had enough. You will not die if you don't eat the last little bit of that. And it was tasty as fuck. I'm just going to tell y'all. For those of you who don't know, I have bought an air fryer. And as always, when I have something new, I go ham, I go crazy, I just start using it. Well, this morning I made 3 air fryer eggs. And so I have like a little small, I guess it's like a 6-inch cake pan. It's like a tiny cake pan. And you crack the 3, so you spray it with nonstick, you crack your 3 eggs in it, you set your air fryer I set it to 350 air fry, and I did it 11 minutes today, and I have the Breville air fryer, and I think I'm going to try 10 next time. It is delicious. And then at the 9-minute mark, I popped in my bread with my butter on it so that it could cook at the same time. I was going to tell you, it will slap your mama good. I was like, oh, fuck, where has this been all my life? So I have a feeling that for the last 3 months, I swear to God, almost every day I've ate cereal for breakfast. I'm a big fan of wheat flakes, which Jane, my bestie, makes fun of me all the time because I like wheat bran. Like, I love wheat bran. Even when I was losing weight, I loved wheat bran. I used to love Fiber One too. Like, I don't know what it is about wheat bran and Fiber One, but there's something about it that I just love. And I've been eating that. So if you're curious, I know y'all are always very curious about what I eat. It's called Good Something. It's a cottage cheese. It's got good in the title. I don't know. It's in a blue container, blue and white container. So I put cottage cheese in first. So just hang with me. I have always been a weird eater. And I'm like Mikey. I will try anything. I remember back in the day when I used to work at Shoney's corporate offices, I used to get, even back then, I was like a Weight Watcher meal girl. I'd get the Weight Watchers macaroni and cheese, and I would buy those tiny individual cans of baked beans. I'd cook the macaroni and cheese, and then I would dump the baked beans on top, and I would stir it like a macaroni and cheese baked bean soup. And I ate that forever. And I would still get down on that right now. Like, it's don't knock it till you try it. And then I used to get the tuna noodle casserole, and I'd buy the small container of peas, and I'd do the same thing. I'd dump the peas, stir it all up, and then I'd eat it. And I'd get down on that today too. So anyway, cottage cheese in the bottom of your bowl. And I like Splenda. You could use regular sugar. You could use stevia. For all of you who are just like, oh my God, like, Splenda's going to kill you. Look, if Splenda's going to kill me, I'd be dead by now. So just, I don't need anybody to tell me about their thoughts about Splenda. So, but you put some Splenda in it. So I put 2 packets of Splenda in the cottage cheese. Then you dump your wheat bran on top. Then you get the unsweetened cashew milk. Like, I like cashew milk. I just love it. It's got a nutty flavor. You could use regular milk. You can use whatever you want, but I like unsweetened cashew milk. You put that on there, then you just stir it up. And you've got your protein, you got your fiber, and you got deliciousness all in one bowl. So I have been eating that for, God, months now. That's been my breakfast. And now I'm just like, looks like it's going to be 3 air fryer eggs and 2 pieces of toast of butter on it for a while. This is good. So let me get Lisa up here. She is our coach today. She will be in the Q&A. She will be on stage with me while I teach. I hope all of that, all of my shenanigans about what I eat gave us plenty of time to get everybody in here so that nobody misses anything. And now we can officially talk about stopping at enough. So let me pull up my notes and then we will be ready to rock. All right. So the first thing that I want to do is number one, if you're a new member, this is a live training Zoom that I do every week. So every month we have a theme of the month and we usually have a challenge or we release new content. And then my Wednesday Q&As are all about whatever that content is. We are in March. And so this month's content is all about stopping at enough. So every single Wednesday, I will be live on this call and I will be talking about a different angle of stopping at enough. And then we have a challenge that's going along with it. If you're new, you just need to get through No BS, the weight loss course. You do not have to listen to these. You do not have to pay attention to these. If you've been gone for a while, let's say that you've been a member and you're like, where do I start? I've been off the rails. I've been a member for 2 years and I kind of took a cracker the last few months. You know, the holidays came and I'm just now, I'm like a Poxitoni feel. I'm poking my head up out of the cave to come into the spring. So if that's you, I always suggest going to No BS first, doing that, and then you layer in these supporting calls. All the calls that we do, if it's life coaching, if it's these Wednesday classes, they're always in support of concepts that we're teaching inside of No BS. So this month's challenge is all about getting consistent at stopping at enough. And so we're running a challenge for that. You can go to the website. If you go to the monthly challenge page, you will have some information. We usually give you special little drops, special content, like little things that you can do to make stopping at enough easier. So every single week, I am going to be teaching a different aspect. This week is called Do Your Damn Discovery Worksheets. So I'm going to talk to you today about why we're going to spend some time this week not trying to stop it enough, but what we're going to do is get aware of our language around stopping it enough. Because unless you're aware of your language, unless you're aware of your thoughts, unless you're aware of all that stuff, just trying to stop it enough, if you're noticing you're not doing it, it's not going to be enough for you. And that is like probably 90% of you. Like, I don't want you to sit there and be like, oh, like I'm the one person Corinne wrote this for because I bet everybody else is sitting around just stopping at enough and it being super easy. No, I wouldn't be teaching it if it wasn't something that we all struggle with. Even I struggle with it. Even before this call, I'm sitting here staring at my food thinking I should be late. I should be late for this call. Like, that is literally what my brain offered. Rather than just stopping at enough and trusting you ate plenty, those few bites were not going to make or break you for the rest of the day. My brain thought, like, legit, a serious consideration is to be late for my call so I could eat. Which is dumb. I'm like, that is never happening. That is just not happening. But that's just what you need to see is that your automatic thoughts, your brain, it's always going to offer up wild, fantastical ideas. But this is why we have a reasoning brain. My rational brain was like, you got like over 700 people coming to this call today. They are not going to be like, oh, it's okay. You finish your breakfast. Just, you know, don't mind us. We'll just sit here and twiddle our thumbs until you're done eating. So this week, we want to talk about doing your damn discovery worksheets. Week number two, we're going to try a monk meal. And I'll teach you all about that next week. Week three, we're going to change one thing in your environment. And week four, we're going to create a power sentence. And then week five, I'm going to take y'all through. I believe I'm doing it. We're going to do a Fuck It Foods worksheet live. It's a bonus week. And the nice thing about March is it's got an extra Wednesday in it. And we want to take y'all through the Fuck It Foods worksheet. I've done it a few times in the membership. It's always a big hit when we do it. And we are going to do it on a Wednesday morning. And I have a reason why we're going to do it. And I will unveil it in week five. All right. So let's talk about making stopping it enough easy. Step number one, you have to get aware of your patterns around stopping at enough, but you got to do it without being an asshole. Say it again. You're going to get aware of your patterns around stopping at enough, which means I'm going to notice my thought patterns, my excuse patterns. How many times, like at what meals is it easy and what meals is it hard? Are there certain feelings? Is it only when I go out to eat that it's hard? What you want to do this week is you want to pay really close attention to, I just want to figure out what my patterns are, because when you figure out the patterns, here's the magic. You no longer get to say, stopping at enough is hard for me. I quote you bitches on this all the time. Y'all will say, stopping at enough is so hard for me. Not at 8 a.m. Very often, you don't, there's certain meals that ain't that hard. Sometimes if you're around, like I've coached several people who will say, stopping at enough is hard for me. And I'm like, and then they'll say, you know, it's only when I'm by myself though. When I am out with other people, like, it's like, good Lord, I don't want them thinking that all I do is clean my plate. So then stopping at enough is easy. We want to make sure we're articulating what the real problem is. It's, if you say stopping at enough is hard, your brain thinks every meal is equally as hard. So every meal is going to have anxiety around it. But if you start looking at your patterns and you start noticing it's only certain meals, sometimes it's easy for me. I want you all to think about this. Those who have that thought, like, pay attention to your body and your emotions when I say this. Stopping at enough is hard for me. What emotion comes up for you? Some of you, it's going to feel very true. I would say the vast majority of you, it feels true. There's about 50% of me still feels like there's truth in that. Okay. Hopeless, sad, anxiety, annoyed. So here's what nobody said. Excited, motivated, determined. Everybody had wah, wah, wah. That's the only feelings. Okay. So I want you to close, take another deep breath. I want you to cleanse your brain of that thought. Now, what I want you to think is this thought. Sometimes it's hard to stop it enough, and sometimes it's not that hard. Or you can try this thought on. Some meals are hard, some meals aren't. You could try this thought on. Sometimes it's hard, but I'm learning how to do it. How do those thoughts feel? I want you to think about it. Better, optimistic, calm, true, hopeful, empowering, curious, heart, less overwhelming. Exactly. And I want you, doable is a big one that's coming up. Now, it makes sense. This is the question for y'all. Are both sentences equally as true? Probably. It's true that stopping at enough is hard. It's also pretty much equally as true that stopping at enough is hard, and using the power of and using the power of but, I don't care if you say, and I'm working on it, but some meals are easier than others, opens the door to just some, but it's like the crack in the door to possibility. It's the crack in the door to let a little light into the dark room of enough is so hard, to be like, huh, maybe it's not as hard as my brain likes to make it out to be. So the first thing we got to do is we just have to get very aware of your patterns around stopping at enough. And we need to do it without being an asshole to ourselves. So as you're going to be doing discovery worksheets, here's what I beg all of you who, like, just give me an emoji when I say this. You've been working on it, like, you would identify as this. Number one, all I do is work on enough. Like, that's what I work on all the time. I've been working on enough. Number two, enough is something I need to figure out. I got to dive deep. I need to work on enough. Exactly. Everybody's like, me. Okay. If you identify, and especially if you've been working on enough for a while, and you're like, I haven't cracked the code. Like, that's the one. Give me a thumbs up if you're like, I literally need this. Like, I've been working on it. It's not clicking yet. I definitely need to work on this. Great. Then this is the month for you. Seriously. And this is the thing about being an asshole. Needing to work on this. Like, I already see people, they're like, I roll an emoji as if it's like, I'm the one. We are not going to be assholes to ourselves. We are not going to make this a pity party. We are not going to sit like, being judgmental about this is like, I'm going to notice my patterns. And then my thoughts are going to be like, loser, you'll never get this. You shouldn't have these problems. I love it when elders are like, you should know this by now. You've been here long enough. This should have been solved. We're not going to be mommy dearest. Who remembers mommy dearest from back in the day? We're not going to get out the wire hanger to ourselves and go ham with our mask on simply because we ain't figured out enough yet. We are going to rise up, as Andra Day says in the song. If you don't know that song, please play it for yourself. Andra Day, rise up. We are going to rise up and say, like, fuck, this is not a big ass problem. This is literally the next step in the journey for me. That's all it is. So for this month, if the work of your life has been trying to figure out enough, or you know from all of your, like, you know, you've been doing your habit tracker, or just, you're just self-aware enough to know that you don't stop it enough. You don't even have to have data to prove it. It's like, no, I know, because there's never left anything left on my plate. Or every night I'm like full. Then I want you to get this week, I do not want you trying to stop it enough at all. Some of y'all can be like, this is what's hilarious. Stopping it enough is so hard for me. It's just so hard. It's such a struggle. Wah. And then I'll tell you, hey, guess what we're not going to do for the next week? We're not going to try to stop it enough. And it's like, but no, I can't lose weight unless I stop it enough. Look, no bitching, no moaning, no arguing, no trying to tell me how things are going to roll. You ain't been stopping it enough. You just been doing it like an asshole. Every time you ain't stopped it enough, you've been sitting there bitching, moaning, and whining to yourself. You've been mommy dearest over and over. That's not what we're going to do this week. Step one to solving your enough is slack. Cut yourself some slack. We're going to pay attention. Like, I want you to just eat like normal, except this time, we're not going to tune out. A lot of you, you're not stopping enough because, like, you're the first thing you're like, well, I think that's enough. Your brain goes ham. No! You're going to get hungry later. No! It's so wasteful. No! Everyone else is still eating. Look, I need you to hear all that, because what happens is when that starts, you're like, let me eat faster. Let me tune out. I'm such a loser. I can't do it. Fuck this. I'm just eating. That pattern has to break first. The very first pattern it has to break is being an asshole. Like, the first habit that has to form is awareness. What do I tell myself? How do I talk myself into it? What feelings? Which meals are hard for me? Which meals aren't? What feelings are hard for me? What feelings aren't? What excuses talk me into it? What excuses can I easily tell myself no? We got to know that shit. Because when you know that shit, then you get to take step two and you get to do the next thing. So this week, I want discovery worksheets done as if, like, every time you do one, someone's going to give you $10,000 just for doing it. Could you imagine if I was like, I don't know, let's say Oprah Rich, and Oprah's like, or let's just say Oprah's like, Corinne, you're doing good in the world. I've got like a few million extra that I just don't care about. I was going to burn it in the backyard. I've decided to give it to you. I'm like, thank you, Oprah. And then I'm like, no BS women. You get $500 and you get $500 and you get $500 every single time you do a discovery worksheet. Bitches would be lighting up the place. Be out of money. I want you to think every discovery worksheet is like giving yourself a gift. It's giving you awareness around what it is that you can take to ask coaches to solve enoughness. And this is the thing. If you've been doing discovery worksheets, number one, kudos to you. Number two, if you've been doing them and talking to yourself like an asshole about them, please stop now. And number three, if you're doing discovery worksheets and you're finding the same thing over and over again, stop doing them on your own. Do your discovery worksheet and legit have the love and compassion for yourself to take it to ask coaches. Tell them what you said in there and what's not changing for you and let them coach you on it. Take a picture, post it in the Facebook group. Let the community tell you what they see, what they've tried. There will be all kinds of women who are like, yep, that was me. And I solved it doing this. You just never know when the answer is like one post away, one question asked away. All right. And that was just step one. So we are going to get aware of our patterns. And this week, we're not going to try to stop it enough. We're going to notice when we're not and what we're saying to ourselves and what our patterns are. If you need to, you can go back to module one, lesson four, have I had enough, so that you can get a refresher on all the signals for you to start looking for this month around your enoughness. Okay. Number two, I want you to start to notice the difference between when you're overeating unintentionally and overeating when you're willing to be aware. So this is really important. This week, as you're listening, I want you to try your damnedest to no longer tune out when you're eating. I want you to see how long can I keep paying attention to my enoughness, even if I'm going to eat past it. Now, let me just say this about it. If you are willing to stop it enough, sometimes what happens is when you really start paying attention, you are actually willing to stop. Something in your brain will flip and say, let's just stop. Like, I don't know why we're going to keep eating since we know that we're going to stop it enough. If it feels simple to just stop, ride the train. Just stop. You don't have to keep eating. But some of you, what I want you to be aware of is when you know you're at enough, I don't want you to stop because you're going to force yourself to. This week is not about putting any more extra pressure on yourself. This week is about trying to make stopping it enough easier for you. So I do not want you putting pressure on yourself. And pressure will sound like, I should stop. I have to stop because I'm aware of it. You do not have to do anything. And there's no should or shouldn't. What I would much rather you do is say, I'm going to keep eating Because if in this moment, I really don't want to stop, I just want to start this week with finding out the real reasons why I don't. Because when I find out my real reasons, I know the root cause thing to address. Because a lot of you just keep trying to force yourself to stop it enough without solving the root cause of what's going on for you. And what could be going on for you could be, you notice that after really long days where you don't get any breaks, you might have a harder time stopping it enough. You might notice that sometimes if your family is still eating, that it's harder for you to stop it enough because you might have thoughts like, well, if I'm done eating, like I don't get to be with my family anymore. Like your brain lights up to, you should go do the dishes or you should start cleaning the kitchen. When what you really want is to be connecting with your family. And so you've been eating in response to that. And so just getting aware of it this week, be like, huh, I wonder if I could just sit at the table and not, and work on not feeling bad that I'm not going to go do the dishes or clean up the kitchen. I'm going to give myself what I really want, which is more time with my kids and family. I need to work on the guilt that comes along when I do that. So really listening this week is what's really going to help you. So I want you to just notice the difference between like when you're just eating and you're not paying attention. And this is usually what comes up for people is they'll say to me, like, you know, you're doing unconscious eating past enough when I'll ask you, well, why didn't you stop? I don't know. I really don't know what's going on. I'm not sure why I keep doing it. That's a signal that you've been unconsciously eating past enough. So this week, your goal is to listen and then figure out, like, what is it like for me when I'm really aware of what my brain tells me? Okay, so here are some power thoughts for you to practice this week. You can leave yourself some reminders so that you can remember. Number one, I'm getting curious about why I eat past enough. I'm willing to see what my patterns are without a beatdown this week. It's worth it to me to see why I've been overeating. And I want you to practice that mindset because that will make like looking for enough and finding those patterns a whole lot easier. We want to put our brain to work on it, okay? Now, here's the third thing. Once you start to see the patterns, I want you to pick the one that would be the easiest to address and work on for your weight loss. Just one. You don't have to pick them all. I want you to just pick the one so that by, like, let's say by Sunday, or if you listen to this replay on Friday, by the next Wednesday, I give yourself like 5 days, give yourself a little bit of time to say, after about 4 or 5 days of listening, or however, if you want to take a week, I don't give a damn how long you take. I'm going to pick one pattern that I find. Most of you are going to find multiple patterns. There's not just one. Eating past enough is not like, I do it for the same reason every single time. I have lots of reasons why I still eat past enough. I have lots of reasons why I don't wait for hunger. There's like, I have lots of reasons why I eat off plan at times. But we only want to pick one. And here's why we pick one. When you choose one and you unravel that one and you learn the skill, like whatever thought that you're having that's causing you to eat past enough, once you disprove it, and once you overcome it and you teach your brain how to think differently about it, you just learned a skill that will help you with everyone after that. Because it doesn't matter how many patterns and excuses and things that you have. The real like solve for this equation is when I do one, I've now learned the skill of paying attention. I've now learned the skill of pivoting my brain. I've now learned the skill of practicing equal airtime. So practicing equal airtime means I find one thought And when I hear it, I give equal airtime to another thought that feels different, but true. That's what we did in the very beginning when we said, stopping at enough is hard. That feels hopeless and true. When we said, stopping at enough at some meals is hard and some meals it's easier for me, feels more optimistic. It might feel better. It might feel curious. And it rings true. So when you are practicing equal airtime, when we are pivoting our thinking, when we're going from old shitty to new hotness, when we are going from old thinking to new thinking, all you're really doing is saying, all right, I need another thought that feels as true as this one, or nearly as true as my old one. And this is important because that teaches your brain how to hold two competing thoughts. And competing thoughts will feel true, but one will feel bad and one won't. One will feel less intense, less bad, maybe even positive. What I watch y'all do too often is try to go from, here's one thought that feels true and terrible, and here's a thought that I would love to believe, but I don't. And then we wonder why this one never takes hold. Having truth in there is what makes a new thought want to take hold. Because if it feels true and good, then your brain lights up with dopamine and is like, well, that's a better way to think about it. And every time you consciously pivot to that new thought, your brain gets a dopamine hit. And every time it gets a dopamine hit, it wants more of that. And then eventually it flips the script. Thoughts give off dopamine just as much as a donut does, just as much as an Oreo, just as much as potato chips. Now, potato chips and stuff, they have a major surge of dopamine, whereas positive thoughts have sustainable dopamine, long-term dopamine, just enough to feel better. And we want to recondition our brain to be looking for that type of dopamine. All right. So once you start to see the patterns, you're going to pick that one that would be easiest for you to work on. Now, in April, the reason why we're spending a whole month on enough, and what you're really looking for all of this, is the brand new module 3 of No BS is coming out. It is dedicated to urges. And I have lesson after lesson after lesson that is going to be addressing the most common things that stand in the way of, in particular, off-plan eats and doable hunger. So what you find this month, you're going to pick one thing to work on this month, but the next month, you're going to be able to apply what we learn in the urges module to all the other things. But I need you to get that skill of pivoting, equal airtime, finding an equally as true thought. And if you have problems doing that, the only thing you got to do is, like, especially for you, those of you who are like, it's hard for me to find a thought that feels equally or somewhat true compared to the one I believe. Where should you go? Tell me in the chat, where's the first place that you would take that struggle so that you don't have to deal with it? Ask coaches. They are experts in thought reversals. They are expert, like we call them a couple different things in the life coaching world. We call it thought reversal, which is how do you flip a thought to feel equally as true? We are also really good about what's called possibility drops, which is, have you ever thought of it this way? You know why we're so talented at it? Other than having to do it thousands of times every day and working on ourselves? We don't have the drama you do. It's normal for it to be hard to come up with a doable thought when you've only been thinking of one way your entire life. Sometimes, and this was my case. Sometimes when you grow up a certain way, And then you go out into the real world and you just keep living the way that you've always lived. And then you happen to surround yourself with people who all eat similarly and think kind of similarly. You don't even know what you don't know. So for some of you, you've been beating yourself up on not being able to find new ways to think. Why would you like be able to find it? That would be like beating yourself up for saying, well, I've been talking all my life. I just can't believe that I can't speak Japanese. It just like, what a loser am I? I mean, I've been using my tongue. I've been vocalizing my entire life. And why can't I just speak Japanese today? If you've never been taught it or exposed to it or anything, why would you be able to? So for some of you, stop beating yourself up because you can't think of new doable thoughts. Why would you be able to? If this is new to you, if you've never been exposed to this stuff, this is why you want to be inside No BS. You don't want to, like, it's not enough to just, like, let me just say this. I'm going to get on a high horse. It is not enough to join, watch a few videos, download some worksheets and be like, I'm going to do this on my own. Like, I don't need no help. I would venture to say 97% of the people that ever join No BS, that method is never going to work. If it did, I would not bother having live classes, ask coaches, and a community. The reason why you need these extra supports is because this stuff probably will not come naturally to you. If you've never been taught this, you need someone else's perspective. And you're probably going to need it a lot. I'm sure y'all know this, but I don't know if you know this, but I have my own coach. I have been working with one person for 4 years. I am a master certified coach. I run next to the Life Coach School, the biggest life coaching business in all of LCS. Two of them. In fact, my second business, the Business Women's Membership, is now outpacing 98% of the coaches. Corinne knows thought work. And I still need someone to help me. We either coach every week or I'm reaching out to her in private message saying, I'm really locked in on this. Like, I literally can't see my way through it. Like, I know there's got to be a better way to think, but nothing feels true to me right now. Only this problem feels true. Only this feels true. So if I have to ask for help every fucking week, please give yourself that gift. Do not talk yourself out of it. It is important. And especially to my elders, because new people, it's easy for them to know they need help. Well, it's not easy. I will say it's easier in the beginning. It makes sense. I've only been here like 3 months. This stuff is new. I should use Ask Coaches. I should get some help. Then when you've been here a minute and you've been doing this a while, your thoughts switch. I should know this by now. I shouldn't have to ask for help. I don't want to ask a question. I don't want people to think I don't have it together. What will people think of me if I'm asking for help? Please don't do that to yourself. Please. Especially if you've been here a long time, that is an indicator that you need help more than anyone. And it's not because something's wrong with you, and it's not because of your lack. You're wrong about that. You need help more than anyone because time has shown you that probably the one thing that you need to work on most is learning how to ask for help, learning how to seek out experts, not trying to just do it on your own, and changing the conversation about yourself. Just because you struggle with something doesn't make you bad. Just because you struggle with something doesn't mean something's wrong with you. it means that there's some thoughts in there that feel so true that it would be so much easier if somebody else lent perspective and can say, I got you. Let's poke holes in this until we figure it out. There's literally nothing wrong with that. People ask me all the time, why are you so successful? And the two hardest things I think in the world for a woman to be able to do, and that is lose weight and build a thriving business that outpaces men. In a man's world, and I've been able to do it, and it's not because Corinne sits around as a solo artist. I take courses. I show up and ask questions. I'm in a class right now, and literally everyone is in my community, my peer community. And the first day I got several private messages, and they all said, I can't believe, number one, you're here. And number two, I can't believe you were the first one to raise your hand to ask questions. They just thought, I don't know. I guess I'd just come in there and have it all together. I was like, there's a lot of shit I don't know. I wouldn't pay for a course if I knew it all. I'm here to learn. I don't tear myself down because of the stuff I don't know. That's what makes people succeed. So if you want to be a success story, one of the components of a success story is they know how to reach out for help because they see the worth in themselves and the worth in someone else to help them. Okay, let's see if we have any questions. So, like, Sarah, this is really good. I'm just reading this in the comments. Same here. Hard to ask for help. My first thought is it makes me weak. That is like, so it's not hard to ask for help. Here's your new thought. The reason why it's been hard is because I'm very wrong. I think asking for help is a sign of weakness. So if I was you, Sarah, here's what I would do. I would write about, where did I learn that asking for help is a weakness? Because you've learned that somewhere. And I bet if you snake it back, you're going to see that where you learned it, it's like, is that really the model I want to follow? Because I invite all of you who say it's hard to ask for help as a sign, asking for help is a sign of weakness. Come say that to my face. You come tell me, Corinne, I just need to let you know you're a weak ass bitch because you're always asking for help. I ask for help every day from my team. I asked for help from my husband before I came on this call. I ask for help from y'all all the time. Hell, 2 weeks ago, I was asking for air fryer recipe help. I ask for help from my best friend all the time. I ask for help from my coach. Because I don't think it's weakness. I think successful people do that because they're too much of it in a hurry to hit their goals, to be slowed down by bullshit thinking. So we need to figure out, where did you learn this? Where did you learn asking for help is a weakness? Who taught you that? Who modeled it? Do you want that for yourself? All of you, if you're over the age of 18, throw out your rule book that was handed down by bullies, teachers, exes, parents, Uncle Bo Cephas, and whoever else. When you're over 18, you don't get to say, they taught me this. But it's their fault. You a grown-ass bitch now. If you want to burn the book, you get to. We all just sitting around waiting on you to decide who you want to be. You want to be the person they told you that you are? Do you want to be the person they said you could be, that or your limitation? Or do you want to be who the fuck you want to be? Do you want to rise up and say, like, I don't want to be weak. You know what's weak? Sitting around not stopping at enough because I think asking for help is weak. So throw out your rule books. All of those definitions that people gave you and handed down to you over the years, ask yourself, I get why I think the way I do, but I'm grown up now. I get to decide, do I even want that definition anymore? And if I don't, what is the definition do I want to have? And every time this one tries to come up, what am I going to tell myself instead? How am I going to show up instead? Like, y'all, this is why you're in no BS. You ain't going to get this at any other diet. You're not going to go join Octavia and some Octavia coach who's working their pyramid scheme or MLM or whatever they do. I don't know if it's a scheme. Honestly, I'm talking out my ass. They could be amazing company people. I have no clue. But I guarantee you, they don't know what they're doing when it comes to unwinding your brain. They just know how to pump you full of a shake. You go and you join the Weight Watchers. And they're like, oh, we have like personal health. They got no personal health. They got people that they're paying maybe 12 bucks an hour somewhere to sit and just type questions, type answers, not help you get to the root causes. All right. Let me see if we do have questions. Let me find my Q&A. How do you lose weight if you eat to enough? Wouldn't that make it to maintain? No, eating to enough is enough for your body to sustain for a few hours. To maintain your weight, you can eat till full. But this is the problem I think most people run into. When we're overweight, we're not eating to full. We're actually eating to overfull. We're eating like beyond what our body wants and needs. Eating to full is eating to where like you're all right, but you feel just slightly uncomfortable. Eating to enough, there's not any discomfort. You feel good. You feel energized. You know it's enough to keep going for a few hours. If you go to module one, and if you go to doable hunger, the lesson on doable hunger, I believe it's lesson three. I'm not 100% sure. Don't quote me on this. I was just looking at the website the other day and, you know, I'm 48, perimenopausal. So the brain doesn't always remember exact numbers anymore, but it's the lesson on doable hunger. There is a cheat sheet in there. And the first page has like all the signals of like enough, like what you might be thinking, what you might be feeling, body cues and stuff. Second page actually is a chart that shows you the differences between like extreme hunger all the way to extreme fullness. And it's got shades of variations in it. So what I would do if I was all, and this is what happens. I know y'all come in here and you're like, gonna power drive, gonna get through, I'm gonna listen to these videos on 2x speed, and y'all just hammering, like, I ain't got no time for no cheat sheets. I'm not. Look at these worksheets. Oh my God. Clutch my pearls, a worksheet. Y'all, I put gold up in there. How many of y'all didn't even know that that sheet was available? I'm like, oh, wait, so many people are so confused. I'm like, we just spilled it out for you. So if you're just like, what? Here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to go to doable hunger. Over in the No BS lessons. And I want you to look at it. It's two pages. See what you can learn. See what you can discuss. Look, Angie's like, what? This also frequently happens if you're listening to just the Private Member podcast. And let's say you're just listening to the lessons on the Private Member podcast. Do not forget to go to the website, check the videos, because there are worksheets and cheat sheets and all kinds of things that make the weight loss much simpler for you, but that's one that you can look at. How often does Corinne weigh herself? Once a week? Let me look at my Happy App scale. I will tell you the last time I weighed. It is a long time ago. In fact, when was it? Hang on. Here's how long ago it was. I was like, how did I even look this up? November of 2022, Before that, I did weigh in September. And before that, I weighed in January. Does that say anything? Green got that good relationship with a scale now. Here's what I weigh. Every day, I weigh out my options in my plan. Every day, I weigh my self-esteem. I think about, how am I thinking about myself? What are the things I'm telling myself today? I weigh my behaviors. I track, like, I know how often, like, I track how often we go for drinks. I know me. If we go more than 3 weeks, I can expect the scale to go up a little bit. If we go twice a week, I maintain weight easily. I weigh how many times I work out each week. I track my workouts. For me, working out motivates me to eat a little better during the day. When I start the day with a workout, it just makes it easy for me to think all day, eat to support those muscles, girl. When I don't work out, I'm just like, we didn't work out today. Let's just order up. And tomorrow you can work out harder. That thought comes up every fucking time I miss a workout. Every time. So I like know my patterns. So I try to set myself up to give myself situations that I execute that makes it easier to think all day long. I'm always trying to figure out how to make things easy on myself. So I don't weigh that much. I don't think there's anything wrong with weighing. I just don't need to anymore. I can get on the scale and be fine. It doesn't bother me, but it also doesn't do much for me either. There are so many other things I'd rather look at than the scale. I love looking at, like for me, rather than watching the scale, I like to watch my life. And I like to have the indicators and the guardrails of like, because it really is about what you do. It's like, I like to watch my life and to like, are you living the life you want? Are you showing up the ways that you want, the best version of you, the version you're aspiring to be? And I got this morning. I did a Peloton run with Jess Sims, who's one of my favorite Peloton instructors. And she said something this morning and she was just like, you know, one of the things that we have to remember is we can always improve ourselves, but we don't have to improve ourselves because this version's bad. We get to love this version and say, and I want more of her. And I want to see what else she can do. Like this version, she's doing her best. Or this version, she got me to where I am here. Or this version, she deserves more. We don't have to beat this person down in order to get to where we want to go. I eat fast and blow past enough. Tricks to go slower. Yes. If you listen to, go back to module one and listen to the doable hunger, we give you tips to eat slower. The one that is tried and true that is actually in the lessons of module one, if you'll listen to them, is eat with your non-dominant hand. If you are anything like me, if you ever try to go left, I couldn't eat fast if I wanted to with my left hand. I always tell people, I don't know why God gave me one. God gave me a left hand to hold shit. I held Logan on my hip because I had to do everything with my right hand. So eat with your non-dominant hand and see what happens. All right, y'all. That is it for today. Y'all have an amazing week. Guess who's coaching y'all's face off on Sunday? It's me. We gonna coach, y'all. I hope to see you on Sunday night. What time do I do coaching? 10 a.m. Central Time. Like, what time do I coach on Sundays? 10 a.m. Central Time. I will see you then. If not, I will see you in the Facebook group because I am in there. Don't forget, hashtag Corinne's advice. You can find it in the pinned posts, like the featured posts. Read shit that I'm telling people. And you'll also get some of my new air fryer madness pictures. I'm also tagging that with Corinne's advice. Have a good one. Bye, y'all.